This is a replay of Thursday night, November 7th, WGN show. We started at 10:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP for the world's best customer service. It's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 2.5 hours to talk about whatever is on your mind, and the voting continues. Not the House of Representatives and all that. None of that. The world's worst hit records. That's what. And you can vote until the day before Thanksgiving. It's the annual poll, and so far it's shaping up to be a little different. I've noticed in your first suggestions that some of them were not mentioned last year or the year before. So if you hear something you hate, by all means second it, because it's a cumulative total. And if you want to suggest something that you haven't heard anybody mention, all it has to be is a hit. We don't care about what genre, what decade, as long as it was a hit and you hate it, it qualifies. 888-876-5593 is 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So, had a couple of things I was looking into from last night, and one of them is what turns out to be a controversy on Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. This was when James on the South Side wanted to hear Charlie Walker, and wanted to hear Patsy Cline, Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. I said, well, you know, Charlie Walker had the original in 1958. Well, now, here's the interesting part of this. All right, Charlie Walker, first person to record Harlan Howard's Pick Me Up on Your Way Down, and 81 artists, different artists, have recorded this song. Now, on the other hand, Patsy Cline, in 1956, recorded, I think it was November of 1956, I've got an actual date there, November 8th, 1956, recorded Pick Me Up on Your Way Down, but it was not the same record. And obviously it predated Charlie Walker. Mayborn Axton, the gal who wrote Heartbreak Hotel for Elvis, wrote it. And a total of 3 artists have recorded it. Like I say, one was Patsy, recorded November 8th, 1956. The first time it actually was released was as an album cut on Everest in 1963. Everest put out an In Memoriam album posthumously on Patsy Cline, rushed that out with a number of things, Walking After Midnight and such, and of course, Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. Now, I do not have the album handy, but I looked online for pictures, and I couldn't see any writer's credit on that. All right, so the next time it was released was Decca in 1968. So actually, if you want to be specific, it was April 29th, 1968. And if you look at the Decca single, which I have, and I did, it's credited to Harlan Howard. If you play the Decca single, it is the song that Patsy Cline recorded in 1956 by Mayborn Axton. So you go further, you say, well, the song's been released numerous times since then. And isn't this interesting? In 1973, MCA released it, you know, flashback type stuff, several times. And some of the singles credit Mayborn Axton and her 2 co-writers, and others of the single credit Harlan Howard. In all cases, it is the Mayborn Axton song. So that is the conundrum. That's why when I pulled it last night and I pulled it off the 68 single, I thought, oh, well, this is the Harlan Howard version. And when I listened to him, it was like, no, it's not. We noticed that on the air. I cannot find a recording that Patsy Cline actually did of the Harlan Howard song. Every one of them is the Mayborn Axton song, though about half of them are credited to Harlan Howard. So I assume somewhere, sometime, somebody was really ticked that they didn't get the appropriate writer's royalties, and I assume that someone at Decca in 1968, that's as far back as I can trace this, looked in a catalog to give writer's credits, you know, some secretary doing all this, and so, oh, here it is. That's the song. Harlan Howard wrote it, gets the credit. It's on the label. That's where the royalties are paid. Not the same song. All right, so that we've cleared that up. The other thing, I left a phone message for Judy in Grayslake, and I don't know if she got it or not, but I told her I have solved her News Nation question. She was very upset because she believed that News Nation billed itself as basically being Switzerland, being neutral and presenting all views. And she said, they're not. Geraldo Rivera endorsed Kamala Harris. What's up with that? So I got an executive on the phone and discovered that, yes, Geraldo Rivera endorsed Harris and Bill O'Reilly endorsed Trump. And those were the only two correspondents and employees of News Nation allowed to endorse anyone because, of course, they strive to cover both sides or all sides of an issue. And that's the goal. I don't know that it's ever possible to give totally equal time, but certainly their heart's in the right place that the mandate is to cover all points of view. And so with those endorsements, those were the only two, and they were balanced. Okay, so I don't know if Judy heard me now, but otherwise, naturally, she'll call back. So that's the deal with that. Now, as far as food inspections, I haven't gotten to the bottom of that yet. No, everything we eat is not inspected, obviously. But what's interesting is how inspections are carried out in district to district and circumstance to circumstance. And a lot of that is anecdotal online. But yeah, if you start reading it, it will cause you to never want to eat again. It might be the best diet aid ever. So that's the deal. All right, well, I'll continue to try and get accurate numbers on that. 888-876-5593. Jay is in Green Valley. Always nice to hear from Jay. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Jay?
Hey, Raleigh, really good tonight. I want to do two things. I've got a song for the worst songs.
Good.
To nominate. And it is Brown Sugar by the Stones.
Very good.
And how to really fully understand what it is. You have to read the lyrics to see how bad it is and why it's terrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, I never really got past just hearing it a couple times and saying no. But now I'll have to go look at the lyrics.
You have to. Yeah. It's not as happy as what you think it is.
Well, I didn't.
Anyway.
All I thought it was bad. But now that I'm looking at the lyrics, I guess Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields. And immediately I say to myself, oh, a historical perspective. I don't want to hear it. All right.
I'm suggesting if other people want to help nominate that one also is terrible.
Yeah.
Read the lyrics and you'll understand why.
Yeah, I can. So. Yeah. Well, I guess this proves the adage that most people aren't listening to the lyrics. Oh, man. All right. So what else you got?
Second thing is, this is another scam alert. This is basically a reminder for anybody who's on Medicare. It's Medicare open season again now until December 15th.
Oh, I thought it was December 7th. Really, it's the 15th?
Okay, I might be wrong. It's in December sometime.
Yeah, I think it's December 7th.
I don't have
it. Ends, yeah.
But the scammers from India are out in full stuff. They, again, are the independent or United States independent insurance agents are using them again, once again, to pre-qualify for getting information and signing up for Medicare insurance. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a call, and it'll probably have a local phone number, and mm-hmm. they'll say they're John Smith from Medicare. See if you have your Medicare number and ask your age and all that stuff to pre-qualify
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
pass you on to their manager, who's just going to repeat everything again, and then you will be passed on to the states, to somebody local, an independent insurance agent, an actual real person in the United States. But what is not known, or what they do not know, especially the agents who hire them, is
what they do with the data.
Well, the scammers are still online in the background. They just mute themselves.
Right.
So all this PII that you're giving the insurance agent, you're giving it to scammers.
It's true. It's a very sad reality, and this certainly isn't the first year that this has gone on. But, and of course, insurance agents are very aggressive about trying to sign people up to various plans. And it's not unusual to get a lot of mail, for instance, and sometimes phone solicitations. But I would say in this case, it's like anything else. Hang up, and if you want to call an agent yourself directly, do it.
That's exactly it. And by using the scammers from India, they get around the do not call list.
Oh, well, so. Yeah. Scammers aren't going to have any regard for that regardless, no matter where they are. But, this is a real tough thing, because obviously they are targeting a group that is not necessarily keenly aware that there's an issue. And normally, I would say, Medicare is never going to call you. And that, by the way, is the absolute truth. But agents representing these plans will do anything they can to get your business. And, I'll tell you another thing that really goads me on this is actual not scamming, but I would say misleading information or incomplete information. People will be sold, oh, this isn't going to cost you anything and there's no downside. And these are not properly explained to individuals what the free deal really is. And so there are so many things about this that I think require a lot more elaboration that just isn't there.
Yeah, we went to an open meeting and we're asking questions and asking for details. Oh, well, you won't get that till you sign up and get the complete booklet, so you'll know what medications you can do and what doctors you can use. And
it's funny you say that. Years ago, there was a politician who said that you couldn't know what was in the bill until they voted for it. And, that sounds like the same thing. Fortunately, we know who it was and what it was. But
that was Ms. Pelosi who said that on Obamacare.
Here we have something a lot closer to home for everybody. And, it can be confusing, the rules governing both Medigap and Medicare Advantage plans are pretty much set in stone. There are minor differences in how they are executed, but this information is available online easily. And I would hope that anybody who was considering making a change or picking one of the plans would at least take a look at what's the upside and what's the downside on all of this.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I cringe. And, I'm of that certain age. So, I get mail solicitations, some of which should make people blush in terms of how the truth is being, shall we say, modified. They're not out and out lying, but they're just leaving out the salient points.
Yeah. And just as a reminder, in 2023, Americans lost over $10 billion. With a B, dollars to these scammers.
Right, so. And it's going to get much worse. I mean, you've been on this really from the beginning, Jay, but I'm sure you too are looking at this saying, oh my God, as AI proliferates, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah, it just makes it easier for them, but yes, it is.
Yeah, because obviously what we're saying is AI can get enough information about you for it to sound so legitimate. So it still comes back to anyone who has contacted you, don't play ball. Independently contact someone, whether it's your bank or your insurance agent, yourself.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. It's sad. As I say, it'll get worse. So yeah, till December 7th, and right now it really is. I don't know why. It seems like this year the agents have become more plentiful and more aggressive.
Yeah. So I wanted to just do a reminder of that, and people be careful.
Absolutely. All right. Always good to hear from you. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much again for your time.
All right.
Stay safe.
Okay. So Jay in Green Valley checking in. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Let's get back to the voting that matters here in moments with Fran in Austin, and Catherine is in McHenry, and Chuck is in Rockford, and I forgot to play commercials, so here comes the cavalcade on WGN Radio.
It's a rock, a rock, a rockabilly boogie. A rock, rock, 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 rockabilly boogie tonight. Well, I know a little spot at the edge of town where you can really pick 'em up and set 'em down. It's a little place called a hideaway. They do the rockabilly to the break of day. Well, it's a rock, a rock, a rockabilly boogie. A rock, rock, rockabilly boogie. A rock, rock, rockabilly boogie tonight. The shoes getting ready to bop. They're gonna rock a billy awareness songs. You really ain't hip till you feel the thrill. So come on, little baby, do the rock a billy bill. It's a rock, a rock, a rock a billy boogie. A rock, rock, rock a billy boogie. A rock, rock, rock a billy boogie tonight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Robert Gordon. And that was actually 1979 on RCA. And it was David in South Chicago who wanted to hear that. And Rob Stoner played bass on that song. Rob was briefly an artist on Epic. Love the title of his 1974 song. Never got an airplay, but I thought it was a great title. It was a drinking song. Instant Forget. So I remembered, but a lot of good that did him, huh? 888-876-5593. We got a minute or so remaining this hour, so we're going to take some votes. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. First, I wanted to second a couple of them.
Yeah.
Paper Lace.
Ah, yes.
Tell Laura I Love Her.
Okay.
And I want to add Teen Angel to that.
All right. Yes. Oh, well, you know, all of them.
She is so stupid. He gets her out of there, and she goes back to get his high school ring. Aw.
Well, of course. Of course. But isn't that always the way? I mean, all of these songs. You know, but there's a special category for death songs, and after a while, they're so bad, they're almost good, like Endless Sleep by Jody Reynolds, you know?
Oh, that's another one I hate.
Up to
on there too.
The night was black, rain falling down. Looked for my baby, she's nowhere around. Traced her footsteps down to the shore. Pray she's gone. Yeah, right. All right. So yes, Endless Sleep.
When I was a kid, that song used to scare me for some reason. And you know, a lot of those death and destruction and whatever songs, you know, I kind of laughed at them and that kind of thing. But for some reason, I don't know whether it's just the ominous sound of it or. I don't know, something about it used to give me the creeps.
I looked at the sea and it seemed to say, I took your baby from you away.
You lay.
I heard a voice crying in the deep, come join me, baby, in your endless sleep. Yeah, I can see why that would be upsetting. We blew the break again, of course, so hang on, don't go away.
Okay, sure.
And meanwhile, I'll look for endless sleep. All right, so, yeah, it was on Demon, the highest in Phi. All right, so that's the deal. After the news, we'll pick it up right there, maybe with endless sleep.
Look for my baby, she's nowhere around. Traced her footsteps down to the shore. Prayed she's gone forevermore. I looked at the sea and it seemed to say, I took your baby from you away. I heard a voice crying in the deep, come join me, baby, in my endless sleep. Why did we quarrel? Why did we fight? Why did I leave her alone tonight? That That's why her footsteps ran into the sea. That's why my baby has gone from me. I looked at the sea and it seemed to say, I took your baby from you away. I heard a voice crying in the deep, come join me baby in my endless sleep.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was a hit, and Fran hated it, so it is on the list. But I love the fact that it was on Demon Records, a bright pink label that said on it, "The Highest in Phi." And I thought there was something something cute about that. Cy Aronson had that label. But I don't think too many people can name anything else on it. And the reason anybody ever heard it was Liberty distributed it. But going back further than 58, I think the first of rock and roll history that I can remember that caused such a stir was Donald Wood's Death of an Angel. Now, do you remember that?
No.
Okay, well, let me tell you about this record. It's terrible. I mean, I think it should be banned just because it's awful. But there was a rumor going around that it had been banned from the airwaves by the U.S. government. I thought, it doesn't work quite like that. But anyway, because it was leading to teenage suicides coast to coast. Now, even those rumors didn't cause people to buy this record, I don't think. But Flip Records put it out, Death of an Angel. They later changed the title, but I'll let you hear some of Donald Woods and the Vel Airs.
Okay.
You know it's not going to be good with this intro.
No, I can tell.
My baby's gone and left me.
Oh my God, I have heard this. Oh,
I thought you might have. Yes.
Well. Yeah, because I remember a friend of mine and I used to always, my baby's gone.
Right. And they later, it came out in 55 as Death of an Angel. 2 years later, Flip re-released it as My Baby's Gone. How creative are we?
Yeah.
Neither time did it hit, but it actually, in terms of, you know, death records have been around us from the beginning of time, I'm sure, but as far as in rock and roll archives, that's the first one I can think of.
That's pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
I've got more.
Yes, of course you do.
Of course I do. Song Sung Blue.
Right, I'm telling you, that's right. Absolutely, I'm with you there.
All right. While we're on him, I might as well say, I am, I said.
Oh, God.
Talk about better living through chemistry. He's talking to a chair and he expects it to hear him.
Well, yeah, depending on what he was using at the moment, it might have.
It may just have. Now, if it talked back, that would be interesting, but,
mm-hmm.
You know.
He might have gotten answers. That could have explained some of his follow-up songs.
Probably.
Blame it on the chair.
I hate to admit this, but I like some of his early stuff. But
oh, yeah, when he was on Bang, absolutely. There was some, and he wrote some interesting things earlier on, but then somehow he got corrupted.
I think he got popular doing schmaltzy stuff and just
that
kept
was
with it.
Yes, right, exactly, because it paid all the bills.
Yeah, it's like Bobby Goldsboro. I mean, there are some songs I like, Little Things and The Straight Life.
Oh, I liked it. You know, that's a guilty pleasure of mine. I liked a lot of them. I loved Me and the Elephants.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah, that is. Yeah, those are guilty pleasures of mine. But
yeah.
I, you know.
Oh, Honey, of course, we don't need to discuss, and of course, we will do the.
Yeah,
of the
I think
honey
I've
house,
already
I'm
voted
sure.
on that one, so I won't
yeah.
do that again.
But. Yeah, but no, I understand that, but there were so many things that never hit by him that were actually good little records.
Yeah, I think my favorite one of his is Little Things. I really like that song.
Well, I can understand it. Hell, I liked Love. I liked Love Is, so that really. I don't know if you ever caught Love Is.
Oh, I'm
Love
trying
Is.
To remember that one.
Okay, let's see if it's on this computer. But yeah, it should be. Love Is. Come on, give me this. All right. So tell me everything but that. So too many songs on this computer, I think. But yes, I'm sure it's too many songs on that. But I know that I've. I can't imagine that I don't. Oh, here we go. Yeah. So. Four versions of it. Very good. All right. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, well, let's see. Is it the right record? No, I don't think it is. But it should be on here. Oh, this is terrible. I mean, I know it's on KJ. And I thought everything on KJ was on this computer, but might not be. Yeah, I thought it was. Oh, here, let's see. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's on KJ, so it's here. Yeah, I hate to admit that I liked this song.
Okay.
Love is, you will find, a state of mind, no certain time to come to you.
Oh, yeah, but I remember it now. I just didn't, you know, that is a good song.
Yeah, I thought it was a cute little record. Also, I liked If You Wait for Love, which also didn't hit. Now, do you remember that one?
No.
Okay, you will when you hear it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame. Got like airplay for 4 minutes, you know.
Right, yeah, and it's those songs, those are the good ones, and I don't remember those. That's, you know, I mean, I remember them when I hear them, but you know, but it's too bad because he had some good stuff, and then he had to get into, you know, ride the schmaltz go round. And
well, yeah,
you
like
know,
I say,
he did well with Honey, and then we had Watching Scotty Grow.
Right. Oh, man. I think that's around the time that he was going through a divorce, and I think that his wife was charging, you know, the typical thing. He's molesting the kids or something. He wasn't, obviously, but there was talk of that, and I thought to myself, this is not the time to put out Watching Scotty Grow. It's really not. So
no.
Yeah. But, hey, he's laughing all the way to the bank, I think, for many of these.
Yeah. Oh, and also, It's My Party.
Oh, and I'll Cry If I Want To.
I will. Yeah. I'll Cry If I Hear It. No.
Well, you know,
I just got,
that was an interesting story.
I got
story.
Tired of it.
Oh, yeah. I heard Quincy Jones tell a story a long, long time ago where he had come over to Leslie Gore's house in New Jersey. I think her father was in the entertainment industry or something like that. But anyway, come over to talk to her about recording, and he brought a ton of records and they, you know, demos. And they went through all of them. And at the end of all of them, there were no yeses and only one maybe by Leslie. And Leslie had a maybe for It's My Party. And that's how that happened.
No.
Yeah, I know. I would have loved to have heard the other options, you know.
Yeah. I like some of the other ones. Like, I like You Don't Own Me.
Well, my favorite by her, and it was because of the production, Quincy Jones, because I'm you know, I'm a sucker for production. But what the heck is the name? And Sergio Mendes had a record with the same title, but not the same song, Look of Love. And I love.
Oh yeah.
Loved.
That is. Yeah, that's one of the ones I like by her.
Yeah, and
actually, I do like a lot of Leslie Gore stuff. I have to admit, but
if it's
My Party, just I got so sick of it, and you know.
Well, you
and
know,
still, I mean, if they had oldies stations, it seems like, you know, every one of them plays that one. You know, it's like, ugh.
Well, you know what's interesting about it is, again, our pet peeve, and I know you join me in this, is the horror of recording engineers who want to improve the tracks for CDs, you know, and they'll remaster them or, you know, in some ways, God forbid, re-engineer them. And someone did the Leslie Gore album and took out all the really good production. As far as I was...
Well, I've heard it.
Yes, then you know she should have sued them. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I heard it. It was so awful. You know, I had a friend, she said, she's, you know, loves Leslie Gore, and she got this new Leslie Gore album, and she wanted to put it on, and I happened to be at her house, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, please make it stop.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just, you know, horrifying that they do that. You know, like my favorite Time After Time by Frankie Ford. It's overmodulated horribly, and there's a death sentence for audio engineers who do that. But regardless, somebody decided that, well, we'll just take out the background vocals, and it turned him into a demented lounge lizard. It was just horrifying. You know, I'm like, no, I'll play it with the overmodulated background. I don't care.
You know, it's interesting, speaking of overmodulating, so many people do not know how to mic a voice.
Or anything else.
Or, you know, it's like I've done, you know, some singing in bars and, you know, things like that. And it's just amazing how many people just, don't know how to mic a vocalist.
Well, absolutely. Well, I don't get the overmodulation, though. You would think somewhere somebody heard this. Yeah, if you don't remember Frankie Ford, I mean, this would have been a great record if it weren't for what you're about to hear.
Yeah, 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 pretty baby.
Time after time, I'll tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loved.
Wait for you.
Lucky!
Painful. You know,
See what you mean. Yes, that is a good song.
It is, and he does a great version, but man, you take those background singers out of it and forget about it. You know?
Yeah.
So what else you got for me?
I guess I can't think of any more tonight, but I know I will be back.
So. There are many days to go, so all right, good deal.
Yeah, I was supposed to have my appointment today, and they never called me.
What?
Yeah, I was supposed to have my...
I know exactly. They never called.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I think you're right that they found the interview, and that checked the boxes, and they said, oh, well, that's all right, we don't have to call.
Yeah, I did get the checks.
Yeah.
But we were thinking, well, it's because, you know, they weren't giving them to me because I didn't contact them. So I don't know, you know, whether, because, and I did get a letter saying that it was supposed to be a phone interview between 10 and 4.
Right.
I got up early this morning and struggled to stay awake all day by the phone.
Right.
They
never called.
So I don't know whether to call tomorrow, because if they did call, or, you know, I don't want them to accuse me of missing another interview.
Absolutely, because just like they had your wrong address, these jabonis might have your wrong phone number.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been blind since 1994.
Right, right. I know, that was hilarious. Yeah, gee, those earlier years must have been interesting. Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
So I would definitely call him back. I wouldn't hesitate to do that. But I also would then start looking into changing the way you're getting the benefits in terms of, not having to be mean.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to find out what I can about either whether I should get survivors from my mother or whether I should try to get my ex-husband's.
Yeah.
You know.
Well.
The only thing I'm concerned with is that is I don't get Medicaid, and I don't get food stamps.
Well, yes and no. Again, I think it depends on what the dollar amount is, and that's why I'm sure there are advocates in Austin. Austin's a place where they'd have them, that somebody can go through it with you to know in advance how it's going to play out, rather than, you know, change and find out.
Yeah. So, I'm going to try to find out everything I can before, you know,
absolutely.
I do anything, but I just, you know, I just want this solved.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am, you know, still afraid that I might owe them money, you know, just all this stuff I've talked about before, so I won't go all into it. But it's just been, I've been totally stressed about this for going on 2 months now.
I know, and it's probably nothing more than a bureaucratic snafu. We've had one. We finally got our Connex box permitted. Now, this has been going on since December, okay? And Connex boxes are pretty straightforward. You know, everybody knows what they are, but no, the county has to permit these things in specific ways. So 4 times we set up the final inspection, and no one ever showed. And so finally I got to the bottom of it. One of the inspectors, instead of signing off on anchoring, signed off on final project. So it would be scheduled for them to come. Someone would say, oh, no, that's already been permitted, and it would be canceled. Except it hadn't already been permitted. So finally, thank God that, you know, I own radio stations and at least can make some phone calls to county commissioners. And so I did. You know, I pulled that card out of my wheelhouse and I said, you know what's going to be on the air next week? You know? And so anyway, it still will be, by the way, but you know, maybe a little more even-tempered. But in any event, they had someone drive 2 hours to do the inspection on the spot when I explained this is the fourth and last time this is happening. And yeah, but in getting to the bottom of it, they said, oh, well, here's why it is. Final inspection was checked off, so it just got summarily canceled. And I'm pretty sure that something equally insidious happened within the Social Security offices, and you have nothing to worry about.
I hope not. And I wish they'd get my address straight, because now I'm getting... It's funny, I used to get the print letters before I'd get the Braille letters. Now I'm getting the Braille letters and not getting the print letters.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I see that occasionally on credit reports or whatever, that they will revert to 7 addresses ago. And I'm like, who came up with that? But, you know, garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. But anyway, hopefully, I just want to get to the bottom of it and not have to stress about it anymore.
I agree.
Once I know what's going on, then I can do whatever I need to do to fix it.
You will sleep well. All right.
Yes.
Well, keep me posted.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure,
right.
Thanks.
So, 888-876-5593. And Catherine is in McHenry. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's going on, Catherine?
Good morning, and thank you and your callers for being there for me.
Oh, we're delighted to be. What's going on?
Well, I always hear there's numbers to call when you need to speak, and your number's the one that I always remember.
Good.
I am 73 years old, and last fall or winter, I got my COVID and flu shot.
Okay.
And a month after that, I have been sick all year long and not getting any satisfaction and in a lot of pain.
Oh, no.
And I'm just wondering, I know because of the opiate thing and all that, are there other people...
I'll tell you, Catherine, we're in the news right now. You and I are talking off the air and on my stream, but GN went to news. So
okay.
I want to put you on hold so that we come back, and you'll hear silence until we come back. So don't think we hung up on you. We didn't, and because I want you to be able to tell this story so other people can hear it. So hang on. Don't go away.
Thank you. It will be silent.
Sure thing. All right.
It's a celebration.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Cool and the Gang, 1980 on Delight Records. Celebration. Leah and Marcus Hook wanted to hear that. Did you know that Amir Deodato produced that? Well, you do now. All right, so we're talking with Catherine and McHenry, and the news cut us off, and she was discussing something and said, I wonder if anybody else has these problems. And I said, well, we better wait till we can talk to everybody else. And now we are. So, all right, Catherine.
And you know what?
What?
And after hearing that music, I have no problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. So now.
Thank you. Your music brings so much enjoyment into my soul and my body that I thank you all the time.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, no matter what mood I'm in.
Oh, man. So let's talk about your body. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, back at last fall, I got the COVID and I got the flu shot. And a month later, I came down with all these symptoms.
Uh-huh.
I had to get 5 weeks of iron infusions.
Oh, God.
Fatigue, headaches, just everything. It has affected my life.
Yeah.
So quickly and everything. And I go to the doctor and everything, and they're like, yeah, okay, you know, then we'll do this, we'll do that. But my body, I am in so much pain.
Yeah.
And I am tired of the over-the-counter things because they don't work. And when you ask for something stronger, they gave you, like a 1% stronger. I'm not looking for to become an addict.
Right, you're not looking for narcotics. You're looking for relief.
I'm looking for relief.
Yeah, relief.
And you know, I mean, I'm looking through the weed and the CBD and all that. You know, and yeah, it doesn't really work. But come on, I'm not looking to become an addict at 73 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
I just want to be healthy.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go back to work without hurting and enjoy my life. Why won't anybody say, well, maybe one of these things affected you. And why would I need 5 weeks of iron infusion out of 73 years?
Yeah.
What happened? Am I the only one going through this?
No.
When I talk to other people.
No, you're not. You know, there's a database of adverse reactions to anything, including the COVID vaccine, and it's VAERS. And when you see the hundreds of thousands of reports, you know, some of them are anecdotal. The idea that nobody is being affected is just defies any form of credibility. But what we're saying, because we don't really care about statistics, we care about you. And what you're saying is that for whatever reason, you came down with some adverse reactions that are lingering and affecting you, and you're getting no relief. That's where you are, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so one of the problems when you're in pain is that the most important thing to do is determine what is causing it. Because any analgesic, from an aspirin all the way to morphine, is just masking the problem. And our goal,
absolutely.
Right? So our goal is really not to medicate the pain, although in the short term, of course, it is. But the real goal is to find out what is causing that. And sometimes you have to think outside the box because, you know, allopathic medicine is very good for many things, but there are times when you may want to look at things that are more natural or, you know, even homeopathic. You know, there are so many ways to go outside the box that when you're not getting relief from one form of medicine, there's no reason to think that there's no relief out there. one of the beauties and also one of the curses of the internet is that you can find literally millions, I'm not exaggerating, of stories. Now, of course, some of them are hogwash, let's face it, but some of them may have real value to you. And if your doctors are just passing you off and saying, take a Tylenol, you need to do some research on your own.
Absolutely.
You know, they're
not even doctors anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. PAs and all that. But again, the allopathic model is very much geared toward, drugs, pharmaceuticals to treat conditions. And I'm not saying that that isn't the way to go in many cases, but there are so many more avenues that are out there that when one fails you, it behooves you to look at others. And, it takes a certain amount of discipline because some of it is going to be just completely crackpot, but a lot of it may be the key to you feeling better.
And I appreciate you saying that because in the last week, I have found a friend who I didn't know was into Shirika.
Okay.
Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
It's the sound with the bells.
Okay.
And the bowls. And I always thought that was a California thing, you know. So, and then she says she was a teacher and everything. I'm going for it because...
Well, it can't hurt. We're talking.
No, it's more mental.
Right. The idea of sound medicine is as ancient as the planet, really. And when you get right down to it, all of us are nothing more than a rate of vibrations. So the idea that other vibrations can, in fact, either enhance or denigrate your life is just crazy. Yeah. Of course it can. And some people are into binaural beats, for instance. You know, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with trying anything like that because there's no downside. Now, on the other hand, the one downside would be is if you were avoiding physicians and you had a real condition that was diagnosable, you know, you don't want to see that happen, like somebody ignores cancer or something like that. But when you've already tried allopathic medicine and you've basically gotten a clean bill of health, you've done all the blood work and all that, you were low on iron for a while, but you took the iron supplements your iron's looking good.
And I follow
now.
Up on that.
Yeah, right. And your ferritin levels look good. Those are the two with iron, always look at ferritin also. That looks good, then I don't see anything wrong with trying things. Now, again, there are things that could harm you and you want to use common sense on this, but obviously frequency, vibratory things, that's not going to bother you. And who knows? It may give you relief.
I got nothing to lose.
No, you absolutely don't. The only thing that can be lost sometimes is you want to make sure that whoever the practitioner isn't trying to just milk you out of dollars. You know, I mean, obviously.
Oh, no, yeah. I completely trust this person.
Right, so when you know you're not being bilked for money, and you know that whatever you're trying is not something that could have a deleterious effect on you, I don't see any problem with going outside the box because you're not getting relief by the current system.
Yeah.
So,
Raleigh, where should I send the check?
Oh, no. Well, just spend it on something that makes you happy and think of me while you're doing it.
I can't thank you enough.
Oh, sure. Keep me posted. I really want to know how the sound therapy goes. Let me know.
I'm going to it next week, Thursday night, and I will let you know.
Yeah, can't wait to hear about it. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
My pleasure, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
And all the callers, too.
All right, yes.
I don't know how many callers have helped me.
You betcha. All right, thanks. Appreciate
it. Love y'all.
Thanks. Peace. So, 888-876-5593. Oh, we got a lot to talk about. All the lines are full. Let me say goodbye to Catherine here and disconnect her line, make one line available for you. We've got Eduardo and Cindy and Chuck and Leah and Laura. All right, plenty to discuss. But right now, it's the moment you've been waiting for all week. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. all-time favorite, Double Backbeat. Yeah, Hey Little Girl, Dee Clark, 1959. Dee would have turned 86 years old today, born in 1938 in Arkansas. Moved to Chicago when he was 3. Yeah, of course, he was in the Cool Gents, as you know, and the Delegates and the Hambone Kids and all that. Died in 1990 in suburban Atlanta, and Smyrna had a heart attack just 52 years old. So that was on Abner, and that was just a wonderful record. And, you know, I guess proof that I'm getting older and can't remember, can't hold a thought hostage. Things I knew in 1959, I know like they're yesterday, but a year or so ago, I decided I got to find out who's playing drums on Hey Little Girl because I like it so well, and it took me a while, but I did. I don't remember. All right, at some point, I will look that up. But in the meantime, I will just luxuriate in the fact that it would have been his birthday today, so it gave me an excuse to play Hey Little Girl. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And I believe waiting the longest is Leah and Marcus Hook. So, Leah, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Wait a second.
Okay, I will wait. Leah will be back soon. I think she has an Upper Darby story for us. Yeah, so what's going on in Upper Darby?
Well, first I want to say thank you for playing my song.
Absolutely.
And I want to nominate a song.
Okay.
Send in the Clowns.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know, I don't get to vote in these, but I take a real delight when somebody votes for one that I just hate. So, good deal. All right.
I hate clowns. Clowns scare the... You know what out of me.
I don't mind clowns. I just don't really want to hear that particular song or anything else by her. So
I don't want to hear anything about clowns. That song is just creepy. Creeps me out.
You know, nobody voted for it last year, so I'm delighted that you did. Very good.
Well, I hope somebody seconds it. So.
I bet you they will.
I hope so, because it's just horrible. It's just horrible. It's so creepy, isn't it?
Well, it's just bad, yes.
Yeah, it's bad. Okay, and singing Upper Darby, at the school in Upper Darby, I don't know if it was the high school or the middle school, but someone is sending out texts to all the African-American students saying, you black students are now going to be able to have a job picking cotton.
Oh, no.
We'll pick you up tomorrow at 7 a.m. in a white van.
No.
No cell phones allowed. And it went into more detail than that, but that was the gist of it. And what gets me is it's horrible. It's horrible, and the police are on it, and they're trying to find out who did it. And they're all getting it, okay? And
it's not, it's not just Upper Darby. It's happening in Lower Merion as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. They showed Upper Darby High School, so that's all I knew.
Yeah, Lower Merion Middle School. And
Yeah,
but you know, what is obvious is that they have to, if they're targeting people of color, they have to have these student lists. This isn't, that's my question is, who got the list?
It must be someone that goes there.
Well, or somebody who was able to get the list, and that wouldn't necessarily be easy for a student. So it's disgusting. It's not by I wish it was the first time and it was isolated, but it's not. Last year in Drexel Hill, to the contrary, they were threatening text messages and notes in girls' high school bathrooms saying, start hiring black teachers or all the white ones will die. You know, I mean, all this stuff.
Well, what gets me is the news coverage. This is what really gets me. The ABC, local WPVI, Channel 6, had a chyron underneath. It said, hate texts go to black students after presidential election.
Oh, please.
First of all, what does this have to do with the presidential election?
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Now, in a couple of years ago in California, oh, man, there was a real hoopla and one parent filed a civil rights lawsuit. The Los Angeles Unified School District, in their complete lack of wisdom, set up a cotton field in an elementary school that they claim was intended to teach students about the experiences of slaves. Well,
oh, no.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Right, right. And so a parent said her 14-year-old daughter experienced emotional distress. Yeah, I could see, yeah. And teachers are saying it just was to help students gain a real-life experience of what the African-American slave endured. Yeah, never mind the kids of color who go to the school. So, Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but it was just, it's horrifying. So there's no shortage of absolute insanity. And
whose brilliant idea was that?
Well, yeah, I guarantee you, someone in the Los Angeles Unified School District.
Los Angeles is the worst school district, the worst.
Well, that, you know, my mother always thought that. That's what she explained, that I couldn't go to school there. That's why I had to go. So I went to school in Dade County. No, that was just as bad, trust me. But anyway.
Really?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, well, Florida schools were terrible. Jacksonville, which was Duval County, they lost accreditation while I was there. So, you know, stuff happens. But in any event, I hope they will get to the bottom of this, because, as I say, this can only be done if they're targeting only students of color. This can only be done with the ability to get to those lists.
Yeah.
And by the way, yeah. I don't think that they're marked that way. I would hope they're not. So it's not just names on a list. It's also someone who has to put it together.
Yeah, they must have hacked into the system or something.
But even if you hacked into the system, I mean, I cannot comprehend that the list would include whether a kid is, you know, say, African-American or Caucasian. I mean, that's usually not on the list.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know how they're doing it.
I know Philadelphia NAACP is pretty upset, and I bet you they'll investigate it.
Yeah, well, the cops are investigating.
Well, that as well. But, I mean, you know, I think there's going to be some people with a dog in the fight who are going to go further to do something about it. We've ended the hour. I should probably mention that. But that's all right. You and I can keep talking here. I mean, or you can hang on till after the news. The choice is yours.
No, we can keep talking. I don't care.
Yeah. It'll be on the stream. So
yeah, it's just flabbergasted to me that they put that Chyron under there, though. I mean,
it just shows you, and more people are aware of the news and the imbalance of it, and so it's not surprising that they do it. It's surprising that after a while they think they could keep doing it, but I guess they haven't lost enough ratings yet.
I guess they haven't. I don't know.
I don't watch TV, so I don't know. You know, for years, John had to direct TV news, so I used to love local TV news because it was so bad everywhere. And he's like, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, it's
bad.
When I used to travel, you know, promoting records, I every city I'd go into, you know, El Paso or whatever, you turn on television news, and it was always just a laugh fest. So they didn't intend it that way, but it was hilarious.
I like watching when I go to different places.
Yeah.
Like when I go to different states, I like watching the local news because it gives you a flavor for the place you're in, you know?
Yeah. I remember there was a guy in, I turned on the TV in Utah, a guy couldn't pronounce the local street. So, wait a minute, how long has he been there? And it turned out for life. So,
well, Rick Williams on WPVI, he can't pronounce Pennell Road. He says Pennell.
Oh, well, there you go. And nobody's bothered to tell him yet.
He can't pronounce Lima. He says Lima.
Well, if it's in Peru, he's right.
Lima, Delaware County.
Yeah. No, well, like I said, if he's talking about a South American capital, he's doing well. But, yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's all a joke. You know, years and years ago in the 60s, that's when Magid had a school for anchors, and people would send people, I mean, you know, broadcast stations would
Larry
send.
Larry Magid?
Magid, I think his name was Larry. But anyway, not the same as Philadelphia. This was somewhere else. And anyway, I used to laugh saying, you know, they go in normal people and they come out anchors because they were all dressed the same and all that. But today you look at what people are wearing on television news and I say, bring back Magid, you know. These people should not be left to dress
up. Women wear these long, huge, dangly earrings.
Yeah,
earrings, you know, it's just
right.
Like...
Yep. So,
crazy.
Anyway. Yeah. But the dumbing down of America.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever read that book by Harold Bloom?
Yeah, absolutely. Frank Magid. That was his first name, Frank.
Oh, Frank Magid. Okay.
Yeah, M-A-G-I-D. And, he was I think, like one of the big-time men of the year type things, named the leading television news doctor. And but literally, you know, they take normal people and they become maggotized. And, he's not alive anymore, I'm sure, but he introduced the action news format, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and had this deal where everybody went through maggot school. And like I say, it seems like they should be doing some version of that now. Yeah, it was Marion, Iowa, where they were based.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Franken Maggot Associates. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I mean, he's no longer with us, and I assume that his kids aren't either. I don't know. But anyway, we used to laugh about it. Now I think, you know, they need to bring it back.
He had something there, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Don't leave them to their own devices. And God knows they don't know how to use makeup, but I digress.
Oh, please. They go over the top on makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, don't you ever watch the playback? You know, that's what I want. Don't you see this? But apparently not. So so there you have it.
Oh, on my Shop LC channel, they put makeup on their arms and everything because they have to show the jewelry.
Well, they're right there. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they have to show hand jewelry. So they have to show their hands all the time. So they put makeup on their hands, their arms, everything.
Oh, yeah. I love the fake tans, but that's a whole other subject.
Oh, God, I don't. I hate them.
Well, that's why they're funny.
Oh, God. Why does everybody want to look orange, you know?
Well, it might be coming back now, depending. I don't know. So.
Well, you know how the tan craze started, don't you? Women wanted to look white and pale before fair skin was cherished.
Oh, no, let me tell you.
In the day.
No, when I was young, they used to have, it wasn't spray then, but it was other things where you could get an instant tan. And this product, I mean, it was terrible. It ran, it dripped, it made you look like a damn tiger. So, no.
No, I know what you're talking about. No, yeah. I'm talking about back in the day, back in, like,
not the 50s.
1900s.
Okay, well, that probably is true. Yeah, I don't know. Thank God I have no experience.
And Coco Chanel went on a vacation.
Hold on a minute.
On a cruise.
Don't go away. Stay right where you are. Okay, I had to make sure that we weren't in the weather.
Oh, okay.
Because I'll have to say something about that.
So. And Coco Chanel went on a cruise.
Yeah.
And she fell asleep on deck. And she accidentally got tanned.
Oh, geez.
And everybody saw when she came off the cruise, the papers were there taking her picture. And everybody said, oh, she's tanned. Oh, it looks so good on her. And that started the tanning craze.
Well, gee, if she had different genetics, she would have been red like a lobster. What a shame.
Like me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
I saw the cutest picture online today. There was a little cartoon painting of Peanut and, was it Fred, the raccoon?
Yes.
And they were holding hands and they were walking over the Rainbow Bridge. Oh. It was so cute. God, I almost cried.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, I hope that he has, as I was saying last night, I hope the hell he has permits for the rest of the animals he's rescuing, or they're going to come from all.
Yeah, and I hope he gets them their shots. I hope they have their shots.
Well, right. I mean, proof of it, of course. But
proof of it.
even if they do that, they've got to have the permits, or he's just a sitting duck for it happening again.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but yeah, somebody got ticked at him, and I think it was probably some people were offended by some of the stuff he was posting.
And somebody put up a really funny picture of Trump sitting at a desk, and then like a cartoon, like a ghostly image of. Like a giant peanut with his hand on Trump's shoulder.
Oh, God.
Really funny. Crack me up.
Well, I'm going to get back to it here in a moment. So,
okay.
So we'll talk to you
later. All
right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always. Okay. Thanks. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care. Though you keep on saying you really, really, really love me. Do you say the same words to someone else when I'm not there?
Suspicion
torments my heart.
Suspicion
keeps us apart.
Suspicion,
why torture me? Every time you call me and tell me we should meet tomorrow, I can't help but think that you're meeting someone else tonight. Why should our romance just keep on causing me such sorrow? Why am I so doubtful whenever you part us up?
Suspicion
torments my heart.
Suspicion
keeps us apart.
Suspicion,
why torture me?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Terry Stafford, who had the fortune and misfortune of sounding just like Elvis. And he cut that originally on the Crusader label, got to number 3 on the U.S. charts on that. And apparently it probably hit April of 64. And what was interesting about that is Suspicion was number 6 in April of 64, and the first 5 were all Beatles songs. And then the following week, it peaked at number 3. All right, so 888-876-5593. And did I mention that that was a request from James on the South Side? Suspicion. All right, so where are we? Cindy in Chicago has been waiting half of her life. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Did I fall asleep?
Well, maybe.
I fell asleep. Did you answer the phone while I was sleeping again the other night?
No, I don't know. It might have, yeah. But you're here now and you're awake.
Yeah. I've been falling asleep. This time of year, when the sun goes down, I just get real tired and get ready for, you just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, my cat's been doing a lot better. He's gained a real lot of weight back because he had an overactive thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
He's running through. He has energy. He's a little more independent, where he's not always by me. He goes in the living room and runs through the whole condo and he's yodeling like a cat. He doesn't roar like a lion, but he's like,
you are.
But then,
Wait a minute. You are housing and feeding something that yodels, man.
Well, he goes.
Yeah, maybe you need to be checked. I don't know. I'm not sure this is your best decision. But all right, so the yodeling cat is better. I guess that's good.
Well, they just meow real loud.
Uh-huh.
Especially when they're hunting.
In the apartment, hunting away. What are they hunting for?
Well, no, like when I was in the house before I had everything sealed up on the enclosed porch, mice would get in and they would, he would go crazy and yodel like he was crazy after the mice.
As long as he then ate them, did something useful.
Yeah, he's doing better. He's a
very
lovely
good
kid. He's all white with green eyes.
Uh-huh.
And he's a beautiful cat. He's so sweet. He's so good.
And he yodels.
And he doesn't even scratch the drapes.
All right.
But then anyhow, I have a question, like a medical question for you.
Oh, boy. You've consulted.
Well, I mean,
have you consulted Dr.
Really,
have you consulted Dr. Google yet? All right. What is it?
Well, anyhow. Okay. I every year I order a new meter for my diabetic. So I, you know, after I moved, I don't know what I did with it, because I, you know, my diabetes is pretty much under control, and I don't test maybe once a week.
Are you type 1 or type 2? You know,
type 2. Okay, so anyhow, so listen to this. You know, I get real militant when I've got to sort through all the confuse, you know, all the all right. So, okay, so it took them a month, and they hadn't given me my meter yet at the pharmacy, and I kept calling.
Okay.
And so finally the meter's discontinued. So then I got the strips with the meter. And then
the meter that was discontinued?
Yeah, I never got I never got the meter, but I got the strips.
Got the strips. Oh, nice.
Okay.
Do you have a meter that works with the strips?
No, it was discontinued.
Right. Somehow this sounds remarkably familiar. You're not the only person to go through this.
Okay, so then I called the pharmacy, and I'm like, well, can you call the doctor?
Right, and get me something that'll work, yeah. Right, something that will hopefully work, yeah.
Okay, so it took like about two, 3 weeks, and finally I had to call the doctor, like, well, you call the doctor and tell, you know, so I call, and I get the meter. I don't remember everything, all the details. I used to be able to remember stuff.
All right, the meter arrives. Does it work with the strips?
That's the thing. The doctor was not detail-oriented enough to know to send me the meter
that would
and
work
send
with
me
the strips,
new
yes.
strips
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the lenses.
Uh-huh.
So then I go to the pharmacy, you know, to pick up the meter, and I'm like, well, where's the strips? And then I guess I ordered the strips from my doctor, and then they didn't fill it, and then...
This is going somewhere, I know. Can we cut to the chase?
Okay, I'm trying to remember all the details.
Well, let's forget about the details. Let's get to the bottom line.
Well, I mean, okay, but the bottom line is, would you get rid of your doctor if they were, you know, not detail-oriented enough to know, well, if you get a different meter, you need the strips and the lenses to go with the meter, and then you had to go to the pharmacy 3-4 times? Mm-hmm.
I don't put that on the doctor as much as their staff, but what I would say is the decision on whether to keep a doctor or not should be based on how confident you are in their medical opinions and the way they treat you. Now, if you think you've got a good relationship and you're being treated well, then so what if his staff is screwed up? It just causes you a little bit of grief. On the other hand, if you're saying, I don't know...
It's not the doctor not being detail-oriented,
it's the staff. So what I'm saying is that if you like the doctor in terms of the treatment you're getting...
Yeah, I do.
So then don't, you know, that's the office staff. And just roll with
all
it.
Right.
Don't
Thank
get upset.
You.
Don't overthink
well,
it.
Well, I'm so used to confusion with the... there's another thing I wanted to ask you. What have you ever heard of anything that happened to the American, you know, like a lot of the big population of women, men too, that worked in the American people that worked in customer service?
Unfortunately, most customer service is offshored. Not entirely, but it is. Now, the interesting truth about that is, depending on how much money the company wants to pay for the customer service function, you can get people offshore who sound just like they're right next to you in Chicago, but that costs more money. And of course, if you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, they think they're speaking English, and you know they're not, and everything in between. But this goes back actually to really the early 70s when the big issue was that we were losing manufacturing jobs. And at that time, you know, Americans were promised, well, that's all right. You know, this is global and we're going to be a service economy. Well, of course, now with the ease of communication worldwide, we're not much of a service economy. So, you know, there it is. But customer service, yes, it is a premium if it's in America. And some companies use that as the lure to deal with them. Like some credit card companies, 100% U.S. customer service. You'll see that. And you can decide if that's a company you want to use or not. You can vote with your dollars.
That's not my question. My question is, like, what happened to those people? Where do they work now?
Well, all right. You can say that about so many things. You know, in 1970, AT&T had 1 million operators. Coast to coast. 1 million.
Yeah.
Now they don't have one. Well, of course, it's not AT&T anymore, but you know what I mean. That function no longer exists. You know, it depends. The idea that everybody's going to become an entrepreneur, that's actually not reality. But most people do find other ways to earn a living. You know, there are other jobs to do. So, unfortunately, we're seeing more and more, and this is almost political, it's really more sociological, but as time goes on, we no longer need full employment with robotics and computerization and everything else.
Right.
The idea that everybody has to be a worker bee, we don't need that. And so the day will come, I probably won't be on the planet, be fine with me, when they're going to have to come up with other systems of economics, because the one we have is failing and will fail. But for right now, we're still in the middle of it, and that's it. So there are a number of people who
I have work. Something else. I was watching reruns of Barney Miller. I like that show.
Okay.
But then anyhow.
I never saw it.
But then anyhow,
right.
I was reading the whatever you call it. What do you call it again? Like when they show the names. I can't remember things. I don't know if it's all the medication. Where they show the names of like the people at the end of the show. What is that
The credits.
Called?
Yeah, the credits.
The credits. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
All right.
Well, I swear to you, I said, Mike, you're not going to believe this. My cousin that lives. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the word so I get disconnected, but there is a real name. I Googled it. Did someone have the name F-U-E-R? That was their name.
Well,
the whole thing, though. I'm not going to say it.
Well, that is absolutely a last name.
And I Googled it, and it's Scottish.
Well, no, actually, it's German, and F-U-E-R, and in English, it would mean four for the most part, but it is a name that you'll see from time to time, sure.
But how did it get to be derogatory? I mean,
I'll give you, you know, all of the, you know, language differences and the colloquialisms. There's a true story. Many years ago, I was in John Swain's record room in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Beach Music, right? And at the time, the big company that released Beach Music, the records, was called Repeat. It was Pete Smolin's company. Anyhow, they had an album called Shagger's Delight. And, of course, you know, Shag, that was the dance in North Carolina. It was sort of a slowed-down version of a jitterbug. And that actually is now the South Carolina state dance. And it's a big, big deal, shagging. Well, in Great Britain, what I didn't know is shagging is a euphemism for making love in the dirty sense of the word.
Oh.
And so here comes the true story. I'm going to finish the story. So there I am in John Swain's record room, and in walks this British guy. And he sees the album on the wall, Shagger's Delight, and his eyes almost pop out of his head. Now, of course, I don't realize what he's... So he says, Shagger's Delight? I said, yeah, that's big. He said, well, it's big in Britain, too. I said, yeah, well, you know, every year the contest. He said, contests? said, well, yeah. How exactly does that work? I said, well, couples sign up and, you know, they get a number and then they get on stage and they shag for a while and then it's voted upon. And this guy by now is practically clutching his heart. And he said, you can see this? I said, oh, yeah. And it was literally like a who's on first for about 10 minutes before I realized that I was talking about dancing and he was talking about screwing around. And so it was that's the way it happened. So very often you'll see names that that in some cultures would have offensive meanings. When I worked in Louisville, there's a true story. I worked in Louisville, Kentucky, and the night jock on the radio station I worked at, his name was Ted Schmucky. Well, if that had been Miami, this would not have worked. And nobody batted an eye. I always wondered what happened to little Ted Schmucky. But anyhow, that was his name, and he used it. So, yeah, it's not unusual.
But then that's a good story. But then anyhow, my song that I absolutely makes me suicidal when I hear it is that Cat Stevens, What Will the Young Leave Us This Time?
Was that a hit?
I cannot stand Cat Stevens.
But is that song a hit? I've got to look it up.
Oh yeah, I think that was a big hit.
Okay. Unknown to me. You sure that's it? The title?
What did the young leave us this time?
You're talking about Oh Very Young. That's where do you come up with this? Oh, Very Young is the name of the song.
Oh, What Will the Young Leave Us This Time When You're Only Dancing on the Earth for a Very Long
Time? For a very short while, yes. And even though your dreams may toss and turn. Yeah, right. That's Oh, Very Young. Oh, Very Young. Okay. All right.
Was that a hit?
Well, yes, it was a hit. It qualifies. And I will add it to the list and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, and then I do have a request. Can I give a request?
Real quickly.
Okay, it's I'll Never Forget You. Is that what it is? It's about the afterlife?
No, you're not helping me.
I can't remember. I have it written down.
Right.
I'll call it.
Very good. Time. I'll look forward to that. All right.
Okay.
And once again, I have, I'm nothing if not consistent. I've blown another break. Poor Bob. Oh, well.
Begging you, begging you, begging you, please.
Darling, you're lovely as can be. Just as pretty as one can see.
Jive 5, one of the few bands who sounded as good on stage as they did on vinyl. And that was the flip side of What Time Is It? Begging You Please on Beltone, 1962. And Eugene Pitt would have turned 87 this week, born in 1937 in Brooklyn and died June 29th, 2018. And he fought the good fight. There was complications from diabetes. But I'll tell you what, I emceed a couple of shows that he did. And one of them, he had just gotten out of the hospital that afternoon and drove down to Philadelphia and was on stage. And like I say, sounded exactly like he did on vinyl. And hard to do that. And he was just terrific. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. We got votes. Let's get some votes. All right, Mike, second time caller. What you got for me, Mike?
Yes, I got some songs for you. Yes. First, this is for your Thanksgiving Day war song.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, first, Indian Lake by, I believe, the Cowsills.
Yes, it's a scene you should make with your little one. Very nice.
Yes, and L.A. International Airport. Oh, I believe it was David Frizzell or Susan Ray.
Yeah, it is Susan. Yes, Susan Ray. David Frizzell, no, but Susan Ray, yes, absolutely. Okay.
And Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede.
Oh, Gashaga, Gashaga. All right.
Yeah, not the first one that came out.
I understand. Not B.J. Thomas.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if this was listed on Billboard, but William Shatner's version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'd love to add that it wasn't a hit. Thank God for something. But your heart's in the right. Your heart is in the right place anyway. So those are all wonderful choices. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and you have a good day, and thank you for putting on a great show.
Thanks for calling. All right, so hopefully Mike will call again. That was his second call. So, all right, let's see. Everybody's been waiting a really long time. Like Eduardo in Tampa. Oh, my God. So, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Riley. Well, first let me get off the song I think is terrible. Michael Jackson's, this is in the 80s, The Way You Make Me Feel.
Okay, well, I thought you were going to say Ben.
I like that song.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up John Kinsel.
He just died.
They're down to two Navajo
World
War II veterans.
Yeah, code talkers. Yeah. And John was in the news. He was like 107 years old or something.
Yeah, Colville, Arizona. I think that's near your alley over there.
Absolutely. We're very near Navajo Nation. And sure, he was, like I say, 107. And had been doing code talking since 43. So, yeah. And that was...
Wow, that's something.
Right. Because what happened is, obviously, they were using a machine to decode messages, but things were slow and things didn't always work well. And then they turned to a Marine who was trained in a secret code that used the Navajo languages and asked him to get the messages sent instead. And then the rest was history. And there were several, but now, like you say, I believe there are two left. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been some movies, and I saw one in the theaters, which was very, very good. So
yeah,
it was good that they brought that particular community to the screen.
It's interesting.
Good for them.
Navajo Nation's been in the news a lot in Arizona lately because in House District 2 for the U.S. House, the Republican incumbent, his opponent was actually former head of the Navajo Nation, Jonathan Nez. I don't know if he won. I don't keep up with this, but I know it was pretty close, and I heard some of the commercials, and, you know, this guy sounded credible to me. So, I wish him the best. I don't know. I'll have to look that up at some point.
Yeah. Okay, Riley. We'll talk more next week. You got a bunch of calls already before
deal.
You
Thanks
end
for
the show.
Calling. I appreciate
okay.
it. All right. So I was just looking. Do we have... I don't think we have an answer of that. 24 minutes ago, the New York Times says... I don't think it's been called, but does look like Eli Crane. All right. Well, but Jonathan Nez fought a good fight, and he absolutely was a proud representative of the Navajo Nation. All right. So Jim in Richmond. I don't know if he's got votes or requests or both. How's it going, Jim?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I have a whole bunch of things that I want to talk about. Number one is Cindy. Could you please ask your doctor to give you a prescription for Freestyle Libre 3. It's a sensor you wear on your arm, and it tells you your blood sugar.
It's wonderful, but
every minute
there's a bit. It's an absolute wonderful device. Very familiar with it, but if you're type 2 diabetic, unless you are insulin dependent, they won't cover it. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is great, but it's completely out of pocket for people who aren't insulin dependent.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am too.
I just thought that would help.
It is. It's a great device.
That is what I have now.
Yeah.
Is fantastic.
It is.
And I link it to my phone, and I'll be sleeping, and all of a sudden my phone will say, oh, you're 69%, you know, blood sugar, and you need to get up, you know.
Right.
And I thought that would be great for her.
Right, I agree. It is truly wonderful, but hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully she's independent, but if she is, then it's absolutely covered. But if it's not, then that would be pretty expensive out of pocket.
Right. And number two is we talked last night about the problem
right.
with McDonald's.
Well, right. And you asked about testing, and I looked into this. And the bottom line is they don't and they can't test everything that goes out. They test samples. But obviously, when
right.
you're testing a sample, there's a lot of things that can fall through the cracks.
Right. Because, I worked for, Jay's Potato Chips,
uh-huh.
and they would test every day to see if there was the right amount of barbecue on the
right.
barbecue chips
right.
and all that stuff.
But that's still just a small sample.
Right. And I watched several, things on, the shows that look into everything. And they said they test all the time.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they test to see if there was anything wrong with what the product they were putting out?
Well, they do, but they're testing a sample of it. They can't test every one of them. Like, you can't test every onion. You're doing it in samples. And so you're trying. Now, believe me, none of these companies want to poison people because it's not good for the bottom line, if nothing else. And so apart from the requirements, most companies actively embrace testing. Now, some testing for some pathogens is impossible to do regularly because it can take up to 2 days in a laboratory to determine. So there are things that just don't work in a regular testing schedule. But everything is sampled and tested. But, of course, that means a lot of things are not going to be tested. There'd be no way to do it.
Right.
So that's what it is.
And then, could I give you my votes?
I can't wait.
Songs?
Let me hear them.
Okay. Number one is A Horse with No Name.
Okay, America. Good choice. What you got?
Right. And Having My Baby.
A good choice. Paul Anka.
And I had another one, but I forgot.
Oh, no.
Wow. What? Yeah. While I was waiting, but can you play, play a song for me. It's by the Righteous Brothers.
All right.
Soul
and Inspiration?
That would be great.
Okay. Or For Once in My
and
Life.
And then another song.
Okay.
I can't think tonight. Can you play a song by Lady Gaga?
I'll have to look for one. I'm sure it's not on this computer, but I'll find one for you. Somebody voted for one of them as the world's worst hit record, so I'll try to forget that
no,
one.
No,
but,
no.
She
is wonderful.
Is there anyone is there anyone in particular you want to hear?
I can't think of it right now.
Well, if you do, you can always call back.
I thank you.
All right.
And I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too. And we'll talk to you next week, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. What else do we have here? Oh, Lauren Willowbrook's going to guess or going to vote. So, Laura, what do you hate?
Actually, I couldn't think of one today, but I got a couple of other things.
On the screen, it says we are the world, and I know I hate that.
Okay.
I don't want to influence your vote. I don't know why it says we are the world under your name. I can't imagine you're requesting it.
Well, I actually was going to request it.
Oh, well, that's never going to happen.
If you don't like it, we won't play it.
Right. But we won't vote for it since you weren't meaning to vote for it. Okay.
Well, I will vote for one, though, but I'm not sure if it's a hit.
What is it?
Did I hear somebody say, Billy, don't be a hero?
Oh, a huge hit. Absolutely. 1974. Yes. Huge hit. Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please put that on for me.
Okay. All right.
And then I don't know if you heard about this or if anybody else has, but I was looking on Facebook, and, you know, of course, they love to target certain groups.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, seniors, if you're 65 or over, give us a call, and Allstate will give you free car insurance. So I want to tell you that's the latest scam that I've heard of. It's like, nobody's going to give you free car insurance anything.
Well, right. And if it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Yes. So that is all. Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. 888-876-5593. And that will take us to Carl in Riverside. Hello, Carl. What's up?
Hey, Raleigh. What's shaking?
I don't know. You tell me.
The bacon.
All right.
So but that's already been taken.
Oh,
hey,
God,
but seriously, folks. You need a hate song?
Only if you hate it.
Did you say? How about Sugar Sugar by the Archies?
Okay.
Did that grab you?
Very good. I'll vote for that. All right.
It Archies. Popped into my head.
Very
hey,
nice.
Just a couple things. I don't want to keep you too long like other people do.
All right.
I get such a kick out of the people that call in. I really do. In the best of ways.
Yes.
Best of ways. So, anywho, about a month or so ago, I think I told you I was going to see this cover band. They cover songs of the 80s called Electric Avenue.
Yes.
And so anyway, saw them a couple weeks ago. Phenomenal. I mean, really, really good.
Neat.
Really good. So, but the real reason I'm calling tonight is for some reason, and I do like that song. What's the name of that one before? Suspicion?
Yes, Terry Stafford.
Yeah, I've always liked that one. But as a young lad, I remember a song by Don Rondo. Does that grab you?
Rondo. Okay, because on the screen it said Don Randall, and I thought, man, if he wants to talk about Don Randall, I'll be happy to do that. He was the partner in Fender. In fact, he named the Telecaster and the Stratocaster, but it's not him. All right, so Don Rondo. I see, I got excited. We were going to talk about Fender. All right, we're not.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Well, I hate to. I'm sorry for exciting you for no reason with
Don Rondo was, you know, we're talking about a quintessential pop standards singer. And, you know, your basic mid-50s ballads and, you know, Two Different Worlds on Jubilee was probably the first thing he hit with. And there were a number of White Silver Sands, if you remember that.
There you go. That's the one that grabbed me as a young lad.
Yeah,
I was very young.
That was...
White Silver Sands.
White Silver Sands was in 57. Red Matthews wrote that. Got to number 7 on the pop
charts. Have no idea why that popped into my head tonight. I think it was precipitated by Terry Stafford song before. So
well, you know that was the biggest selling record Jubilee Records ever released. So there you go.
I still like that song to this day. You know, with
yeah. Yeah, there it is. White Silver Sands.
Oh, that's Don Rondo.
Yes, of course.
There we go. I'm going, gee, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's Don Rondo. Yes, indeed.
Don Rondo. Hey, that's all I got for you tonight. I'll let you go,
young
lady.
Good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right, you too. I got so excited with Don Randall. No, okay, Don Rondo, that's okay, too. Yeah, after Jubilee, he was on Atlantic for a while, and he was on Carlton for a while, for God's sakes. All right, so I'm going to stop talking because I want to try to get everybody in so there won't even be another bumper. There will be Johnny D. and Chuck and James coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, as I said, will forgo the bumper because I want to talk to all of you, and all of you includes Johnny D. in Ohio. What's up tonight?
Hi, Wally.
How are
What's
you?
What's shaking?
Yeah, nothing but the leaves on the trees. Yeah.
No, I got to be quiet because the kid
the babies
oh,
asleep.
Oh, it's Thursday. Yes, it's Thursday night. Yes, yes. All hell will rain down on you if you wake the kid. All right.
Yeah, well, Becca, you know, so she's already walking on thin ice, so she better not do anything wrong. Now, listen, so I wanted to do, I wrote it down. I don't know who made it, but Starry, Starry Night.
Vincent is the name of the record. Don McLean, the guy who did American Pie.
Okay. Well, I never liked that song.
Very good.
Because I got enough of your name, Vincent, and he says, the world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Vincent is far from beautiful.
Yeah, you're saying, get the guy a mirror. No, it's all right. Vincent is good. Yeah, he did so well with American Pie, but the follow-ups left us all wondering. Not only Vincent, but the other follow-up, Dreidel.
Whatever, I don't know. Yeah. But I'm so shocked because people don't like Billy Joel. He's one of my faves.
Well, you see, that
people don't like
right, but that's the beauty
Cat
of this.
Cat Stevens, I mean, right. Come on, Cat Stevens. I was listening to him the other Miles from Nowhere. I love that song.
Well, see, that's the beauty of this.
Take my time.
Because remember, what? I say that's the beauty of this every year because all of these records are hits. That means that people loved them and went out and spent money. So the fact that we make fun of some of them or hate them, I mean, the artists are laughing all the way to the bank. I would never do this with songs that were flops because, you know, some of those people poured their heart and soul into it and nothing happened to it. You know, maybe it was horrible, but regardless. But, you know, the hits, it's fair game. So for every song that someone hates, more people liked it enough to go buy it.
Right. But, I mean, Cat Stevens, come on.
Well, no, Billy I mean, Joel, again, I don't want to hear Cat Stevens. I refuse to listen to any of it. But that,
I love Cat Stevens.
Well, that's exactly why this poll works. All right, so you don't like Don McLean.
Thank you.
What you got next? Is that it? Just Don?
That's it.
All right, good deal. All right, don't wake up the kid, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We've got, Carl in Riverside. I think I talked to Carl, actually. I'm pretty sure I did. So I guess we say goodbye. Yes, that was right. Don Rondle. All right, so let's see. I've got a couple minutes and a couple. Chuck in Rockford, who's been waiting forever. What's up, Chuck? Are you still awake?
Yeah. Did I fall asleep on you?
Yeah. So, no, that's good. Well, I've only got a couple of minutes. I apologize in advance. What are we talking about?
Well, you were on that the chemicals that don't leave and all that.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of the PFAS and one thing and another.
Oh, yeah.
But now they're talking about, you know, the fire retardant and stuff like that. They're going to may have to, guys are coming down with cancer just from wearing the.
Absolutely. You betcha.
You know, all of my siblings that have passed away, that were younger than me, everyone had died of cancer.
Oh.
And my parents lived into their 90s. I thought my mother would make 100.
Mm-hmm.
And but this cancer thing is really is a scary thing, you know, and I think it's from our environment.
Yeah, and we know so little. I mean, obviously, nobody was trying to sicken firefighters, but no one realized. And unfortunately, with many of this stuff...
Well, you know, and the babies, too, you know, that,
of course.
They don't want their clothes going up in flame.
Well,
and
of course, but no one knew. And now they do, so they'd better make a change. I'm so sorry I did this to you. Call me next week, and we will talk earlier, I promise.
Okay.
All right.
Well, have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too. Yeah. And apologies to James that we didn't get to at all. I tried. All right. Oh, well. And glad I did play his request. So at least that's something. All right. So that's a wrap until next Monday, actually. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air. And we thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That makes the show a pleasure to do. So we'll pick it up Monday night. Tomorrow's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. I believe Monday night is a whole show. And I'm looking forward to talking to you then on WGN Radio.